Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation is all the way in the back, if you didn't know. Revelation chapter number 2 this morning. In Revelation chapter number 2, there is a powerful letter that is written to the church of Ephesus, and we're going to look at it a little bit this morning. The title of this morning's message is How a Church Loses Its Power. How a church loses its power. Now, the church of Ephesus is known for being a very church that was greatly used by God, a church that made a difference in the world. And like many churches over the years, something happened that caused them to lose the power of God on them. And as you see, there's been different areas and different places. Maybe you know of a church that was greatly used by God in the past, and maybe a shell of its old self, or something that maybe the doors are shut. My mind, as I was studying, goes to England, and how England used to be a light for Christianity, for things of God, but it's a very, very dark place now. Not very many churches, where churches used to have thousands that were there, now have maybe under 100 that come to church. And it's not about size, obviously, but it is about God working and God moving. You know, the purpose of church is to be able to come and hear the gospel preached, but also the purpose of church is for the Holy Spirit to do a work inside our hearts. Whether we're saved or unsaved, God's trying always to do something in us, and God's always trying to do a work. And here in Revelation chapter number 2, and I have a lot of things that I'd like to go over today. It might even spill over into tonight's message, depending on how the Lord leads, but it's really a great passage of scripture because it's something that's applicable to many churches today. The problem is that many times people get busy. They get busy serving. If you look at verse number 2, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. You know, they're describing, he says, okay, I know this about you. But then he says, I have something against thee. They've lost their first love. They've lost the reason why they served. And so many times people are busy doing so many different things, they forget the whole reason why they're serving, and they forget the whole reason, the purpose why Christ saved them. So here, when you come to these Revelation chapter number 2, is what's happening here is introduced in chapter number 1. It's get the picture of Jesus being in the midst of the churches. And then there are seven different letters that is written to seven different churches. And here, Church of Ephesus is the first one. And if you did a research and a study, and someday we might do that, might even do it here soon in Sunday school class, about the different churches, they each represent a different church age, with the last church being the church age of the Laodicean, and that's the church age that we are presently in. But here, this is talking about when the church first began. Here, let's look what it says in Revelation chapter number 2. And it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, these letters are written to the angel of the church. Now, some different people believe different ways that word angels means messenger. I believe it's referring to the pastor of the church there. Some people might referring to an actual angelic being. But either way, this is written, I believe, to a pastor. It's reading it to its people. It says, these things save he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. This is referring to Jesus, and as you see Jesus here, there's a description given to him in chapter number 1, because for the sake of time, we're not going to go there, but it's talking about how he's all-knowing and how he's all-powerful and that he's in the midst. And here he's seeing verse number 2, this is written to the church to help them understand, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored and not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today. What a privilege it is to open up your word. Lord, your inspired word. Your word, I believe, is without mistake. And God, you give us so many different lessons and so many things that we can learn. Lord, we see this church. It's a busy church. It's a church that's busy serving. But Lord, you say there's something wrong with them and that you want them to repent of it. And God, I pray that you work in our hearts and minds today about the things that we need to get right with you. And Lord, that you would work in our hearts to want to serve you because of our love for you. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, drive this truth, this thought, deep down inside of us. And help us to leave this place saying, I want to love him and I want to serve. And I want to do what he's called me to do, not because it's ritual, not because I have to, not because I want to stay busy, but because of how much I love him. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want you to think about is the remarks made about this church. The remarks made about this church. If you go to verse number 2, it's given the description here about this church. He says, first, I know thy works. Now, that means that they were working. They did things. I mean, that's what's supposed to be at a church. A church is supposed to be working. It's supposed to be a work of faith. It's something that because of our faith, we work. And it's not because the person doesn't get saved because of their works, but once it teaches us in James chapter number 2 that once we are saved, it is a salvation that will cause us to want to be working, doing good works unto the Lord. And here it says that they were people that worked. Not only did they say that they worked, it says, and thy labor. So not only did they work, it goes so far as saying not only did they worked very hard. It was a church that was busy. It wasn't a church full of people that sat in the pews. Sometimes that is the argument that's given to many against many churches today, is that, you know, 10% of the people do 90% of the work, and that people just sit and they come and they don't ever do anything for the Lord. That's not the case here at the Church of Ephesus. Church of Ephesus is saying, hey, look, I see thy work. And once again, this is written to the pastor or written to what they call the messenger or the angel of the church. He says, I see thy work. I see thy labor. And look at the next thing. I see thy patience. That they were patient. I mean, that's a good thing, right? They're patient and they wanted to serve in the right way. And then it begins talking about how it is a pure church or a separated church. And not only were they patient, they able to bear underneath a heavy load, it says here that they were, how thou canst not hear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. We see here that they were people who made a stand against those who would teach and preach the wrong things. You go back to this church of Ephesus many years earlier, or probably about 43 years earlier. This church was part of a people that was from the city of Ephesus, and that was the people who were part of occultic activity. It even talks about how they took all their occultic stuff and they threw it in a big pile and they burned it up. And that's the life that Jesus had saved them from. Their life had been changed. They were someone who had made a difference. No longer were they doing that satanic type worship. They had taken all that and they wanted to get rid of it, and they threw it and they burned up the pile, and they've been serving the Lord. They had been working. They had been laboring. They had been patient. And here this says, look, you would even try those. You wouldn't let somebody who was preaching something that was false or preaching something that was wrong, or someone who said that they were an apostle. You tried them and you found out if they were liars, you didn't listen to them. You wouldn't listen to somebody rightly dividing or wrongly dividing the word of truth. It's something that you would not have any part of. And not only was a working church, it was a pure church. And then it says, and has borne them and has patience, and for my name's sake hath labored and has not fainted, as a church that continued on. They were steadfast. If you read these first three verses, you would think, wow, this is a great church. This is a church that we want to be a part of. This is a description of what I would like to be like. But then it comes down in verse number 4. Not only were they people who were working hard, and they were people who was not listening to ungodly doctrine, and people that continued on, they were faithful. They were someone who continued on serving despite others maybe leaving. It says something in verse number 4 that you probably wouldn't surprise, that would surprise you. Verse number 4 is not something you would think you would hear about someone who was working and someone who was laboring and someone who was being patient and someone who was being steadfast. Verse number 4, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And he says, look, there's something wrong. There's something you need to fix. Yeah, you're doing all these things really well, and you're doing all these things. You can be commended for these things, but there is something in your life that is missing here, and it's really, really important. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He says, because thou hast left thy first love. So here is the condemnation that's being said. He said, here's the problem that's here. He's not saying that they've lost their first love, is that they have forsaken their first love. They have left their first love. And he says, you've left it. He says, I used to be the one why you served. The reason why you came was through Jesus Christ. I was the one that you loved. That I was your first love in the idea of accepting him in spiritual things. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. He's saying that you have forsaken the things of God. You have forsaken the things that of you have forsaken me. You've put other things in front of me. They say, Pastor, there's something confusing here. You're saying that there were people who worked, there were people who labored, there were people who had patience, there were people who were steadfast, there were people who was continuing working underneath a heavy burden. He says, weren't they doing it for the love of Christ? Wasn't that their purpose? Wasn't that their motive? And see, that's where it makes it hard sometimes to listen and hear. People can serve God without loving him the way they should. There's many people today in many churches today that serve and they work and they labor and they're patient with people and they even remember what it was like before. Now, whatever took that spot, repent of it. He doesn't mince words here. He doesn't candy coat it. Sometimes preachers do that. And sometimes they do that to try to help people understand. But he says, repent. Get rid of it. You know, we don't like to hear like that, but he says, look, you used to do it, you used to love me, something has caused you to turn away from me and not love me the way you should. What you need to do is turn back to me. Repent of that. Get rid of it. It's not as important as I am. Is there something today we have in our lives that we have put as a priority before God? And is there something we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need to get rid of this. I need to repent of this. Now, repentance means it's a turning. It's like a 180 degree. I am turning away from whatever is causing me to fall. He says, repent. You're not supposed to live like that. He said, Pastor, isn't it enough that I work? Isn't it enough that I labor? Isn't it enough that I'm patient? Isn't it enough that I won't put up with something that's not sound doctrine? Isn't it enough? In our world, yeah, you're super Christian. That's great. Praise the Lord. That's what we think. God says, no, there's something I have against thee. There's something wrong here, and we need to repent of it. We don't need to put on a facade, but instead we need to say, I need to get back to loving him the way I used to. So we see underneath the remedy is to remember. And then you see the repentance. And then it says, and do thy first works, which means return. He says, and do the first works. And so we use the word R for return. Return to doing the things that you used to do. Pastor, I'm already working, I'm laboring, but it's not a work of faith. It's not a labor of love. It's not a patience of hope. He says, I want you to now go back with a new heart of loving me, with that passion of seeing me and in love with me. Now go work. Now go labor. Now go be patient. Now go and be a part of that. So church today, how does a church lose its power? I think a church loses its power when it loses its love. The first love. And we don't want to be part of a church that doesn't do anything. At least I know majority, if not all of you, feel that way. Of course I don't want to show up at a church where Christ isn't lifted up and Christ isn't loved and Christ isn't praised. Of course not. So what you say, Pastor, I thought when it says how a church loses its power, I thought you would say it would be sin. Well, when we don't love him the way we should, we start doing things that he would not be pleased with. Where before it would bother us, I can't say that word because it offends Jesus. I can't look at that because it would offend my Lord and Savior. But when we stop loving him that way, oh, Jesus doesn't really care. Jesus doesn't matter to him. We start sinning in ways we never ever expected. Repent and return. Do the first works. A couple closing thoughts. He left his first love. He didn't lose his first love. He didn't lose his salvation. That's in my mind, the Bible speaks about eternal security here, that it's something that they had it. They just didn't love him the way they should. They put something else in front of him. And Jesus says, you're not going to have my power when other things are more important to you than me. I remember the first time as a young preacher, I was the assistant pastor here. I traveled to Crown College, and I went to visit Brandon Cook, Kenny Allen, and Joe Brock were at school at that time. Some of you guys know who those people are. Some of you guys might not. And I heard a preacher preach on this passage of Scripture, and first time ever I saw the connection with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And he was a good preacher. He did a good job. He preached the Word of God that day with power and authority, and that those thoughts have always stuck with me. And that preacher, after a couple years, let sin come in his life, and the preacher did something wrong. He left his first love, and I'm not going to tell you the guy's name. He left his first love, and because of that, he started doing a sin. And when he had done that sin, he was ashamed of it when he got caught. He even says, this was a pastor of a large church, pastor of a president of a college, an international type ministry, and he actually even committed suicide. This was, probably 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more. And I don't bring you that so you can try to find some dirt up about who the person was. I bring you to the point that there was a moment in time when this man, I believe, was right with God. And he was someone that, when I listened to his preaching, he talked about it, but he left his first love. There was something that he put before God, and because of that, it opened the door up to the sin. And this sin took him so far that it caused him to even take his own life. Now, some people might say, well, I don't think you could commit suicide and be a Christian. I guess that's something that you have to discussions and we'll have to talk about when you get to heaven and figure those things out. But I believe he was a Christian, and I believe that he left his first love. He left the door open, and because of that, he committed a sin, and because he committed a sin, from what I understand the story, hearing even from his own family, he probably did not want to have to deal with that, the reproach it was going to bring, and because of that, he took his own life. Was he busy? Busier than I ever would be. Was the church busy? And once again, can that take its power away? Sin was dealt with, and the church continued to do well, and church today still continues to do well. And because one person doesn't make up a church. Even a pastor doesn't make up the church. Church is a local body of believers. But when you come to this thought, to me it was the illustration here isn't to try to bring dirt to a family name, but instead to realize when we leave our first love, we can serve and we can work and we can do all these things. Never even affected us. One of the saddest things I've seen and heard over the years, and even been in a church that personally involved with it, is when a pastor can live in sin and still preach the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about this other guy. This other guy, I don't believe, was dealing with the problem he was with when he would preach to us, but he preached week after week. I went to a church that had a pastor who had an affair, had been having an affair for a few months, and came up every week. He got up and preached the Word of God. He worked, and he labored, and he was patient, but he left his first love. He had sin in his heart and sin in his life that he didn't want to deal with. Now, why do I say that? Do I say that to try to make you think, okay, it's okay to live in sin and be working? No, it's not. But that's how a church loses its power. When you don't want to deal with your sin. You say, Pastor, I don't see my sin. Have you left your first love? Because that was, I don't think the Church of Ephesus was dealing with the affairs. The Church of Ephesus had turned away from being an occultic church. The Church of Ephesus had done, they were working, they were laboring, they were being patient. They were not putting up with unsound doctrine. They were not doing these things. They weren't dealing with those, quote, unquote, big sins. They had just left their first love. And God was saying, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And church today, I wonder, have you left your first love? Is it something that you've done? Because it opens up the door for something that's greater and worse, and we don't want that. We want a church that loves the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. We want a church, yes, that has the description like the church in 1 Thessalonica. It's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. It is a patience of hope. This morning, do you love them like you used to? Do you love them as much as you used to? If there's a day and a moment in your life and your time when you have not, that you love them more than you did today, then repent. Say, Lord, I want to love you like you deserve to be loved. Return to doing the first works. It might be doing it the same thing that you did week after week, but now you're doing it because you love the Lord, not because you got to do what you're supposed to do. Today, this morning, how the church loses its power is when it leaves the reason why it's there. It leaves its first love. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.